This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. As school budgets contract in many of the nation's schools, so do the number of options available to students. The Center for Public Education found that in 2011, 3,000 high schools serving more than 500,000 students do not offer Algebra 2, a key subject covered in the SAT. Those numbers are fodder for advocates of online and distance learning. These profitable programs called Course Access or Course Choice are catching on in rural areas, districts with limited resources, and in a country where almost two-fifths of high school graduates are not adequately prepared for entry-level jobs and college-level courses. But virtual learning is not catching on in America's public schools as it has for colleges and universities across the globe, and the answer may well come down to funding. Rachel Monahan wrote about school choice on steroids for The Atlantic and joins us with more. Rachel, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So online learning is now widely used for advancing education, certainly. You write about several states using online education in middle, public, and primary schools. What are some of those states?
Well, the states I wrote about, they all have a statewide policy that allows students enrolled in their regular public high school, in some cases charter schools or other schools, to take one or more of their classes online or from an outside provider. In Utah, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Virginia, Georgia, and Florida, there is a statewide policy called Course Access or Course Choice.
Mm-hmm. So several states. What sort of classes are students taking through these courses?
Well, they take the full gamut, advanced courses like calculus that their school might not offer, or they take electives that their school might not offer, or they can choose to take a class that their school might offer, but they'd prefer to take it online for any number of reasons. Some students would like to work at their own pace, whether that's faster or slower, so they can take core classes. In some cases, I've even heard of students opting to take phys ed online.
Well, I'm not sure how I can imagine that working, but I'll believe it. I guess the big question here is, how are these courses being paid for?
For parents and students, they're free. In states that have this policy, the courses themselves can cost anywhere from a few hundred dollars to over $1,000 a semester. But that is where the potential for this policy not to get off the ground in many states lies. In many states, funding follows students. Schools are paid based on the number of students they serve. That's a very simplistic version of it. But in many states that have this policy, those dollars follow the student to an outside provider, meaning schools lose funding when their student opts to take one of these course access options. It's something like the same concern that public schools or public school advocates sometimes voice about charter schools, that it will siphon off money from district public schools if students opt for charter schools, or in the case of vouchers, if they opt to take their money to a private school.
So states generally advocate money per student to districts. In states that offer court access, you could conceivably not be paid for that as a school district, but have the money going directly to the provider. Well, like charter schools, which you just mentioned, course access and course choice, these are policy questions that often divide communities and politicians and are often challenged in court. Is that true in this case?
Yes, certainly. Louisiana's, which was a very high-profile effort to enact course choice, and very exciting to proponents because their innovation was they weren't just allowing students to take online classes, they could take in-person classes in other schools, in other districts potentially, and, you know, in college and university settings as well. Originally, as it was set up, there was competition for funding. It was called a mini vouchers program in Louisiana, and that was challenged in court. Some of the high-profile Republican presidential candidates have certainly supported this policy in their states. Jeb Bush, who's been very active in education, has supported Course Access. The foundation he started is a main backer of Course Access. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who are also among the Republican presidential candidates, have also supported it in their states.
Had there been similar concerns as there have been through the years with homeschooling of courses actually meeting the standards?
That's one of the great hopes for proponents of Course Access, that a statewide policy on online learning in particular will raise the bar and provide an easy reference for smaller school districts that might not have the resources to really examine how high quality the materials are. There's hope that the state will be able to provide that resource.
As more and more schools are having to drop crucial classes, you wrote about calculus only being offered in half of America's high schools. Is it likely that these online courses are going to make up more and more of the school curriculum?
Well, we'll have to see. But it certainly could provide that, and it will certainly be interesting to see how schools and states use this resource.
Well, Rachel, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much for highlighting this story.
Rachel Monahan, she wrote the article School Choice on Steroids for The Atlantic. It was also published by the Hechinger Report. And you'll find more, including a link to read her article, at wordofmouthradio.org.